Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com. My name is Darren Boy, and in this show, we are going to discuss insights from the industry with an experienced professional. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you'd like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. All right, let's get started. We are very fortunate today to have an experienced project manager available for interview. Stephen, who's the managing director of MBF International. Hello, Stephen, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Well, firstly, I'd like to thank you for sparing the time and your busy schedule to come talk to us here at GoGo. So you are the managing director of MBF International. What type of company is this, and what kind of services do you provide?
MBF exists primarily to help either individuals or organizations to fulfill their destiny, if you like. We work either in on an interim management position. Or we might sort of head up sort of projects for them, or provide specialist people onto their in-house projects, or we work on a coaching basis maybe for individuals or teams in order to so they can improve their performance and fulfill more of what the expectations are of their organization.
Okay, that sounds really, really good. So what are you working on at the moment then?
Oh, good question. Well, what have we got going? Although we're based in the UK, we're a pretty international sort of type organisation, and we get involved in various different things in many parts of Europe and a little bit beyond. At the moment, we're helping a client in Slovenia who wants to expand their capability in providing special sort of profiling capabilities to their companies in Slovenia and also their neighbouring Croatia. And we've got some good experience actually in that part of the world. We've done quite a bit of work in Slovenia and in some quite large organizations in Croatia. Zagreb's a wonderful place, if you ever get a chance to get there.
No, I haven't gone there yet, but it's on my list.
Okay, well, it's very nice, especially that the coastline down there is absolutely superb. We're
So
also working with a UK independent financial company, which is quite a large organization. They've got about sort of 75 employees in a range of different divisions, which is pretty large, really, for a finance sort of organization. And
sure.
basically, we're helping them with a, if you like, a reflection and a review of their management structure and how they're all working together. And they have a range, if you like, of partners in their organization. And some of the partners have business responsibilities and others don't. And we're helping them to sort of review how best to, if you like, pull out what are the instinctive talents of those individuals and focus the job that they're doing very much to match, if you like, those talents so that they're all feeling a lot more fulfilled individually and also making a big, big difference to the organization as a whole in terms of its capability and its interaction with their clients and
Sure.
success in the long term.
Sounds really, really excellent. And what company was that you working with? I didn't actually catch the name.
It's an independent financial advisory company that's based in the UK.
Right. Okay. So, thanks again for coming.
My
So,
pleasure.
in your experience as a project manager professional, what are the key characteristics would you see a successful project manager would be?
Okay, well, this is a huge question. Because obviously, project management is a very exciting and challenging sort of subject. And I mean, certainly at MBF, we tend to look at most of our client interactions, if you like, as sort of projects. Some are actually clearly projects, and some are sort of quite smaller. So we tend to sort of manage each one, if you like, if it was a sort of particular project. But I think fundamentally, start thinking right from the start, you have to have a very clear brief. You need to know exactly what it is that you that you're getting involved with. What is the purpose of the project? What is it that you seek or is sought to be out set aside? And I think that is very, very important either if you're working as an independent or if you're working within the organization. the sponsor or the client needs to be very precise in giving you exactly the clear brief. And that brief has got to incorporate things like timings, obviously all the other stuff like finances and all that sort of area. But fundamentally, almost like creates a clear framework and a very rigid framework within which you know that the project has to sort of operate.
Yeah, sure. I mean, of course, in my experience, getting that clear framework is often more difficult than it sounds. Often the client, I find, doesn't really know what they want themselves, so it's kind of trying to guide them away. Would you agree with that?
Or? Oh, totally. And I'll give you a good example from a part of my past life. Is at one stage we ran a hotel. And one of the things that we discovered is that the hotel was very popular for couples to come and get married at the hotel and have their wedding receptions.
Yep.
And not long after we sort of got involved with the hotel, very early on, through perhaps some sort of experiences, if we put it that way, we decided on a complete new route and created it very much like a project or created a service level agreement with the client, with the potential the bride and the bridegroom, and spelt out very clearly in black and white exactly what it was that they would expect from the moment, almost like a storyboard, from the moment they arrived at the hotel door, what would exactly happen during the whole event. And this is like a project because, what you can't plan for is the things that may happen, one of the bridesmaids may feel ill or something might sort of happen, and you just got to have contingencies available and to deal with all those sort of situations, just like if it was a project. But what happened as a result of that sort of new approach, and that was particularly in the hospitality sector, what we were able to do then by setting down that sort of strategy and developing that service level agreement, and before in the event, we would get the client, in this case, the bride and groom, to sign off that service level agreement, so they knew exactly what was going to happen, and they were happy with that. And the hotel obviously was putting its sort of line, its head on the block, really, because it was making promises that it then had to fulfil. So that changed the whole purpose, even to the degree that the bride and groom were then very happy to pay like 80-90% of the charges even before the event was due to happen, and that to me is the measure of the success of the confidence that particular approach had. But
so I suppose the modern version of this is a prenup or something like that in getting married, having a brief and risk assessment and whether it's viable or not in the future, that kind of thing.
You will not believe some of the requests that we had to incorporate in some of these service level agreements for these bride and groom. Some of the sort of expectations and idiosyncrasies of their needs and requirements were quite obscure. Sometimes even the animals were sort of had to have their own, their pets had to have their own sort of little service level agreement, but.
But I think, well, I mean,
coming back to your original question, which I think this is quite an important one, because I think having got the clear brief, I think the next critical characteristic of a successful project is then having a project leader who has the capability to balance, if you like, the hard decisions about the management of the project, but also the people decisions which go with that. And the people decisions are geared around both who the stakeholders are of the project, and that's obviously not just people think of stakeholders very much as like shareholders, but we tend to sort of broaden it a bit bigger than that. I mean, anybody that's got an interest in the project, in my view, is a stakeholder. So even some sort of outside organisations or other departments that you may be working within, within the same company, they're all potentially sort of stakeholders. So it's understanding who they are and empathizing with their needs and understanding and managing their needs and expectations, as well as the team members. The project manager's got to be an extremely good project leader and has got to have some excellent leadership skills, but not dominating leadership skills, because the whole purpose of having a team is that the team has the synergistic or pulls out the synergistic potential to get a better result.
That's very interesting. I think you've picked up on some very good points there. The first point, actually, if I could just quickly go back, is you mentioned about the hotel. This really shows that project management, you don't have to be a project manager to be a to do project management. Project management is something which you can incorporate in all your life, in everything, in any job, really, that you're doing. The other thing as well you mentioned is about the stakeholders. Obviously, analysing the stakeholders involved in the project is a very important thing. Do you have any method of assessing which stakeholders are particularly important to the project which you're doing? Like where does the power lie, for example?
Well, that's exactly one of the reasons why you need to do a stakeholder analysis. And there are many different sort of theoretical ways that you can do stakeholder analysis. That what we like to do is what we call a mapping exercise, which is basically that you identify who your stakeholders are. And to me, doing this on a team basis, in a sort of a brainstorming session, is always very sort of good. And you can basically sort of break down what we call the internal stakeholders and the external stakeholders. Internal, obviously, are those people within the organization. And it doesn't matter how small they may be, but initially it's important to brainstorm everybody. And the external stakeholders may be things, obviously, maybe like monitoring organizations, maybe the council or the even things like in terms, areas where there's compliance, health and safety issues, all those are potentially part of the stakeholder. Mm-hmm. And if you're working communities or you're working on, I can think of when I was working on things like projects out in Kazakhstan on a big transport project that I led out there, we had to take into mind the local communities because of the impact, obviously, of what we were doing in their world.
So have you ever had to deal with any conflict before directly?
That's a very interesting question. Conflict can come in a number of different ways, basically, and I think the first lesson that I've learned, and I would say that the hard way, I guess, is that
you weren't injured, were you, in any way?
No, fortunately, not this time. But I think the first thing is that sometimes you need to you need to get to the bottom of why there is potentially some sort of conflict.
Yeah.
What I now know from some of the work I've done in more recent areas with intuitive and in intuition and the drivers, if you like, of our sort of mental energies, is that conflict actually is not, if you like, something which is just trying to be awkward or get in the way. There are some quite deep sort of causes of conflict in the sense that some people might just fundamentally disagree with the way you personally are approaching a subject, and it's because it's completely different from where they would do it. And this is evidence, and I've seen this quite a lot with clients and organizations, particularly in project undertakings, because in a project you get quite intimate with your project team. Mm-hmm. So these sort of things are more prevalent, if you like, than perhaps in the more distant sort of working relationships. So conflict potentially can sometimes be quite healthy, because what it can do, if you can get to an understanding of what is causing it, it actually brings in more diverse thinking and diverse sort of thoughts. Mm-hmm. I think in the past we were very reliant. I mean, if you're putting a project team together, for example, in the past we would always pull in people, obviously, that had the relevant skills necessary to whatever the project subject was, but also people that you thought generally you were going to get on with. I know now for a fact that actually that's not the right thing to do, because if you have too much of the same thing, then that basically limits your capability as a team to really pull out the synergistic potential. So there is an area of conflict which is actually very healthy, and can help when you understand it. Why is it that I just don't see eye to eye with this guy? he's just been awkward. The reality is he isn't. He passionately believes that his thinking is right. Mm. And if you can get mutual respect together, then that conflict can prove to be a very positive sort of beneficial thing as an outcome.
Sure. Don't you think that, though, by choosing people who might not get along, that you might spend, as a project manager, more time dealing with issues within the project team rather than actually monitoring the progress and getting clear communication? You see what I mean? Like, people wouldn't be working on the work package. They'll be more concentrating on the conflict that they have with the guy next to them or the girl next to them, for example. Do you think that's, isn't that a large risk to take?
Very good point. And I think the underlining thing here is that you shouldn't take people on of any sort of factor unless they have shared values and beliefs as to you as the project leader and in relation to the project itself. Yeah. Everybody in that team must have the same values and drivers, if you like, of and motivation for the fulfillment of that project.
Okay? Which of course goes to the back to the organizational and project culture and creating a project culture within the project team.
That's it. But beyond that, it's down to leadership. Mm-hmm. I think it's totally down to leadership because if you're the project manager, it's your responsibility to ensure that none of your team is wrapped up in, if you like, depleting the potential of their energy and performance focus. And if all they're going to do is argue with, you know, some other sort of methodology that somebody else has done, then you fail as a leader. This comes down to the original briefing. When you get your team set up, you have to go around each member of the project team and clearly define their role, your expectations of them. You need them to share what their ambition is and their fulfillment. And, you know, this is fundamental core delegation skills, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, delegation is hands off and eyes on. You know, you shouldn't be standing over people's sort of shoulders. So, you know, if there is activity going on which is depleting the energies or distracting people in the team to some doing things which they shouldn't really be doing, then it's down to leadership.
Okay, that's great. If I could just stop you there for part one. Okay. In part two, we'll discuss how you can inspire a team, a bit more on conflict and a few more surprises along the way. Okay, I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. Thank you again, Stephen, for coming and spending your time with us from MBF International. That's www.mbf-international.com. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. I'll be happy to reply. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, hopefully part two, we've afforded your interest enough, just search the GoGo Radio archive for Darren Boy. That's spelled B-O-O-Y. If there is a show that you'd like me to do, you could let me know by using the question and comment box also. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com.